Our sermon passage this evening comes from Exodus chapter 20, and I'll be reading verse 12, the fifth commandment, that can be found on page 61 of a few Bibles. And before I read, would you join me again in seeking the Lord in prayer? God, we ask that you would make this time profitable, that we would be able to hear your word with reverence, with humility, that we would see how we have strayed, ways in which we have rebelled against your will, but we would also hear the glad tidings that Christ brings about forgiveness, obedience, new life, and restoration. Let us, Lord, hear your voice and see your heart as you teach us. Pray this in your name. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Reading the fifth commandment has never been easy for me. I was not raised with a father. The idea of God being a good and loving father was a strained idea for me. So when I'm told to honor someone who I do not know, it's a bit confusing. And what I'm sharing isn't a unique experience. It's actually sad that that doesn't make me special at all, but actually quite common. That in our world, so many people come to the idea of motherhood and fatherhood with scars. But God isn't unaware of that. God knows that he gives this holy and perfect commandment to an imperfect people who live in a fallen world. So we can't abandon the fifth commandment or write it off as some old and useless law. In fact, we're called to examine it, to humbly ask the Lord to teach us, what is your heart behind this commandment? What are you after? What's the purpose and design of the fifth commandment? And I think from doing that, not only do we see the heart of the Lord, but we also have the ability to deal with our own experiences. To ask ourselves, why do we struggle so much with this commandment? I think one of the assumptions that most, if not all, people make when we're talking about problems in society or problems in the home is that the problem is an external one. It's an other problem. We learn about the harsh actions committed by parents against their children, and the heinous things committed by children against their parents. And our society gives us a long list of external problems. Lack of education, lack of culture, greedy politicians, bad laws. But we get a diagnosis that's different from the Lord. The Lord looks over our world and he sees the pain, the rebellion, the murder, the strife that we all know so well, and he locates a different source. He makes the foundational problem not external, but internal. And Genesis 6:5 says that God looked at the earth, and he saw that the hearts of men and women were only set on evil continually. Now, Jesus comes into the world and makes a similar judgment about hearts. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Now, when the Bible is making use of the word heart, it's not talking about, you know, that cardiovascular muscle. The biblical imagery is after your will. What makes you, you? Your reasoning. Things that you would hold in esteem and honor, and things that you would reject and say that it's foolish. It's what drives you. It's what gets you out of bed. And the Word of God is saying that the heart of men and women, because of the fall, is broken. That we have hearts that are sinfully obsessed with self. In fact, Jesus goes a step further and says that men and women are slaves to sin. Mothers, fathers, children, enslaved to their will. Now, why do we need to bring that up to talk about the fifth commandment? Why do we need to wrestle with sin and how it has affected our will and our world? Because we have to remember that when we come to this holy law, we come as broken people. We come to God's law with a way better sight of sin than of the Lord's heart. In fact, that's why we need new life and new birth, to see why God has given this law, to see the holiness of it and the wisdom of it. Our resistance to the fifth commandment is never about God's intention or design. It's not about what God is after in family structures and motherhood and fatherhood. Our resistance to the fifth commandment is about the terribly long list of failures of that commandment. A young man reads, "Honor your father." Why would I honor him? This is a stupid commandment. Why would I honor this stranger? Why would I honor a mother who belittles me or harms me with her words? But the questions that are never asked is, why does God want me to have a mother and father in the first place? Where did I get this idea that my mother and father should treat me a certain way? That they can't just do as they please, but because they're my mother, because they're my father, they have to care for me and provide for me a certain way. Do you hear the difference? The young man isn't frustrated about what God wants in fatherhood and motherhood. He's frustrated that his father, or the woman, is frustrated that her mother has failed to keep God's purpose. That anger, that resistance, isn't to the heart of the Lord, but it's to the broken hearts of that father or that mother. Friends, this is what sin does. It is a deformity. It takes God's good purposes, things that He has lovingly given an unlovely people, and it distorts it and destroys it. I've never heard someone share a horror story about their parents or about their children without that expectation of, it shouldn't be this way. But where are we getting this idea of it shouldn't be this way? Well, that's because even though we're fallen, we still retain some knowledge of God, that we belong to Him, that we've been created for Him. Calvin talks about it as if you have this mirror and the mirror is shattered. You can still kind of get some sort of reflection, but you're not going to get the full picture. We know that the way children are treating parents, or the way parents have treated children, is wrong, and it shouldn't be this way. But we reject God and don't hear His heart, hear His purpose and design for motherhood and fatherhood. I think it's interesting how there are times where people will talk the talk but not walk the walk, so to speak. And I'll give an example. Well, you'll hear someone say, "No law, no authority." But they harbor bitterness in their heart because their father didn't provide for them and take care of their siblings. Which, to say that that is wrong, is an appeal to law and authority. You'll have classrooms about sociology or psychology where they'll tell you that being a woman and motherhood is fluid. It can be whatever. Anyone can do this and it will change. But those same young women and young men in those classrooms have pain because they know that their mother wasn't what she needed to be. That their mother wasn't very motherly. Where is this coming from? Where are these standards coming from? Children want good parents. They want mother and father to love them, serve them, teach them about their purpose and their existence. And they want that because God wants that. but because of our hard hearts and rebellion, they look to other authorities, other sources on how the world should function. But the Lord gives children a mother and a father to be a living testament to Him, to witness to His character. That children, generation after generation, can learn about the Lord, their Creator, their Maker, by the words and conduct and actions of mother and father. It enables children to move from the concrete to the abstract, or to the visible parents that they eat with, live in the same house with, talk with, live with, to the invisible God. And you can hear children reason this way. Dad is forgiving, even when I really do crazy things. And he says that he forgives me because Christ has forgiven him. What does that communicate to that child? I feel so much comfort because my mother never breaks her promise. She always keeps her word. And she says that God is like that. And if I can trust Mom, surely I can trust her God. Children, the Lord is making His appeal to you by your parents. He is trying to give you that great blessing in which you can learn about Him through your mother and your father. And that's what the word honor is after in this commandment. It's the idea of something being weighty and significant. God is commanding children to give weight and significance to their mother and father and those who have gone before them, to their opinions, their words, their actions. And this is a very pressing question for children, simply because you have to give weight and significance to somebody. In this world, the question is not if I will give weight and significance to someone's words, actions, and example. It's who. You can find yourself in some very interesting situations. I can remember, for whatever reason, and I think it was middle school, the number one cool thing to do was to wear a very long t-shirt. And I wanted to be cool. And I wanted to wear one of those really long t-shirts. And so that's me getting weight and significance from my peers. This is how I'm cool. This is how I am accepted. But my mother had something else to offer. And so here I am in this situation. Who do I give weight and significance to? And with some encouragement, I gave the weight and significance to my mother. My mother was leading me to the right path. But the decision that I had to make was who should be weightier? Who should I give more significance to? And because I decided to follow my mother's advice, I don't have to worry about embarrassing pictures floating up of me wearing a very long t-shirt. Children, who will you give weight and significance to in your life? Who will you decide gets to answer those difficult questions about the purpose of life? What is beauty? What does it mean to be a man? Why work? What is work? These weighty and significant questions, you will give that weight and significance to someone. Follow God's design and pattern and give it to your mother and your father. But that also means to parents, you must, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, impress God's truth on them. I think one of the things that's interesting during the Exodus account, and it actually comes up a lot in the Pentateuch, is these hypothetical situations. Maybe that's not the best way to describe it. These scenarios where children are asking their parents, why are we doing this? Why do we practice this? What does this mean about God? And there's mother and father, representatives of the Lord, to this young child, to this little one, answering their questions. Children, you are called to give weight and significance to your parents. Parents, you are called to represent the Lord, to impress Him onto them, to talk with them about God, to answer their questions. But so few have those kinds of parents. as I was preparing for this sermon, I decided I wanted to ask a whole bunch of people, hey, I'm going to read the fifth commandment to you. Tell me what you think. I have a great privilege of having friendships and relationships from people all over. And as I would share, honor your father and honor your mother, I would hear horrible tale after horrible tale after horrible tale. Which means, if that's not true of your parents, if mother and father are sinners but redeemed, made new in Christ and striving to model him by his grace, if they love you, care for you, pray with you, practice thankfulness for your parents, thank God for your parents, and give weight and significance to their words. It made me think about how a lot of times at the start of some seminary courses, some of the professors will ask people to share testimonies. And there's two kinds of testimonies. And you know these testimonies. One, I rebelled against God. I was doing my own thing. And my whole life collapsed. And the Lord saved me. Praise God for those testimonies. I have one of those testimonies. But what came to mind when preparing for this sermon was the second kind of testimony. It's usually when a young man or a young woman goes up and rather than starting with their rebellion, which is how a lot of testimonies start, they start with mother and father. I grew up in a home where I was loved. They read the scriptures to me. They prayed for me. They fed me. They cared for me. My parents were always there. Sometimes they even say things like, there was never a day where I didn't know Jesus was Lord. And before they share that testimony, they usually have this disclaimer. This isn't really exciting. This might be boring. There isn't enough conviction for me to convey to you, friends. Being lost is not exciting. Growing up in broken homes is not fun. Being in misery, longing to know the Lord and not have people in your life who can accurately reflect Him and open His Word to you is not fun. Children, if you can share that testimony, take full advantage of it. Thank God that you have those kind of parents. Be thankful for that kind of privilege. Share it. Thank God for it. Pray for others to have it. Because it is the way that the Lord leads generation after generation to the way of life and not death. The fifth commandment is a law, a good and holy law. But it's given to a broken people. The flesh wages war against all good laws. But we can't ignore the tension present for a lot of people concerning the fifth commandment. Now, it would be too ambitious to try and exhaust every scenario where to honor mother and father would require nuance, that it would be a little bit of a gray issue. But I would like to stress that the Lord is not clueless about broken families. The Lord knows how sin has wreaked havoc on our world, our hearts, and on families. The Lord knows that there are those without father and mother. Read Psalms, read the Proverbs. He promises to maintain their cause. He promises to defend them. God is aware that there are many who either have one Christian parent in the home or don't have any Christian parents in the home. The Lord still pursues them. He still reveals himself to them. He still makes them useful for the kingdom. One of the things in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, when Paul is talking to Timothy, and here's Timothy, it's a big figure in the Bible, great faithful man of God. And Paul is commending his faith because Timothy's getting ready to go through some trials. I commend your faith. Where does he go from there? That was first in your mother, Eunice, and your grandmother, Lois. And interestingly enough, if you read through church history, you will find time after time these people who the Lord has completely, he's blessed their ministries, have helped so many people through their ministries, and it was just the mother reading the scriptures to them, or the grandmother, or the aunt. The Lord knows that there are people like me who have children and go, how am I going to be a dad? I don't know what this is. I've never seen this. Well, Paul commands the elders in Titus 2, elders, make sure you teach your people pure doctrine and how to live, how to be good moms, how to be good dads, so that the older men and women can teach the younger men and the younger women how to follow suit. The Lord provides those needs. The Lord is also aware that the greatest barrier to faithfulness to him could be your parents or the legacy that they've left behind. Read Chronicles and Kings, where the recurring theme is, this king did not put away the sins of his father. One of the stories that I always think is very interesting is King Asa. The Lord defends Judah and delivers him. And King Asa wants to return to the Lord, practice loyalty to him. And what's one of the first loyal acts that King Asa has to do? Remove Queen Mother from her seat. Because grandmother has been making false idols and statues to foreign gods. Honor father and mother, and by extension your grandparents, but don't put up with idolatry. The Lord knows that in this world there are broken families. He also knows children who refuse to follow the instruction of good and godly parents. Read Judges. Read the book of 1 Samuel. Where one of the original plots that you're interacting with in 1 Samuel is two sons who are running as fast as they can to get killed. And the father is calling out to them, my sons, the report I'm hearing about you is not good. Turn from this. And they don't. Children who refuse to honor good parents, it's never flattering about how it's described in the Bible, and it never ends well. We don't have a problem with the fifth commandment. We have a problem with sin, or to put it another way, we have a sin problem. We have learned fatherhood and motherhood. We have learned how to be children from Adam and not from the Lord. So what is our answer to the sin problem? Here's a couple sin problems. I'm a Christian. I want to obey God. But even when I'm around my mother, my blood starts boiling. How do I obey God? It's a hard question. But it's wrestling with sin. Here's obedience that I know I'm being called to, but it's hard. What am I supposed to do? Here's another scenario. When I read the scriptures, every time I hear God is Father, it makes me think about all the bad memories. Father isn't a good thing for me. Sin has darkened that understanding of Father. What is the answer to the sin problem? Christ. Christ comes to bring the motherless and the fatherless, into the perfect care of the Lord. And one of the ways that he does that is by teaching people about God, teaching them what a righteous father is. Here's one of his prayers from John 17. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, and he's not saying the world does not know you in the sense of there are unbelievers. Jesus is saying, here is this loving, merciful, kind, patient Father. Because sin has blinded the eyes of our world, people don't know him. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Son knows the Father perfectly. And he comes into our world to bring unworthy sinners into the perfect love the Father. Something I think that could get read over pretty quickly in this verse. Jesus isn't just saying that the Father would be nice to people. He says that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. Well, if we had the opportunity and we were standing in front of the Lord and he said, make your case that I should love you the same way that I love my righteous, perfect Son. Why should you receive that kind of love? There is no answer. We cannot make that case. But friends, Christ has made that case for us. By his sacrifice on the cross, his perfect life and his resurrection, he presents us to the Father as unworthy recipients of that perfect love. Some will never be able to learn about the Lord from their parents. But Christ came to offer to all a way to the Father's love, a way to know him. Children, practice love and gratitude with your parents. Give weight and significance to their instruction, their actions. When they talk to you about sin, when mom and dad say, you're impatient, you get angry easily. Listen, give weight and significance to their words. If you are unsure about how to honor difficult parents, if it's a gray area for you and you don't know where to draw the line, God has given you pastors and elders. Go and get some counsel. Ask them, I want to obey God, but I'm confused. God gives pastors and elders to the church for these kinds of situations. How do I live and honor God? Bring those gray situations to them. But do not tell yourself that you don't have to obey the fifth commandment. It's difficult. It's messy. But the reality is, you will have to display love to undeserving parents because you belong to the Father. You must imitate him to your parents because you have broken away from the sins and the legacy that they have passed on, and you have entered new life and into the love of the Father. And those difficult parents need to see it. That's their only hope. With your pains, with your stories, you may be the only hope to your parents. Trust God. Trust his love. Trust the goodness in the fifth commandment. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful that you do not let sin have the final word. That you are a God who comes into our mess and redeems us, makes us new, that we can learn about you and be your children. Thank you that Christ comes to lead us to know the great name of the Father, his truth, his love and mercy and commitment to us. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the children in this congregation to give weight and significance to their parents, that they would not fall into the lies of this world. I pray, Lord, for those who hurt when mother and father come up. Help them to see the perfect love of the Father. Help them to know that you are for them, you are with them, that you are wrong at injustice done to them, but you will deliver them, you will redeem them and strengthen them. Give them the great privilege to reflect Christ to those parents. Thank you, Lord, that one day all of creation will give way to your purpose, your design, and we will be with you forever in the new heavens and the new earth. I pray this in your name. Amen.